Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. And we have been going through the series on tithing versus giving. Just to give you a little update on our future plans, our first new series that we're going to be having on another internet network over on TalkShoe, we are going to be covering the basics of what steps to take when you want to hear from God. So it's going to be very basic, but then we want to spend some time, if anyone's interested, in having the examples of this is the process you go through in order to hear from God on a specific instance. And that can be anywhere from if you have, for some reason, dream interpretation is real big right now. So I want to address that. You don't need to read a lot of books. You don't need to be trained or go to someone who's trained. It's very simple. Dream interpretation is very simple, very easy. It simply relies on you being able to hear from God. He's a person. He's alive and well. He's sitting right next to you. He can speak clearly to you what you need to know at any given time. And we'll go into that if that comes up during that series. We've talked a little bit before about that, but it's basically what we want to remember, that these ways, these supernatural manifestations are to get our attention. And once we give him our attention, very often what he wants to say to us has nothing to do with the means he uses to get our attention. So if we are attentive, very often we are not going to be experiencing many of those supernatural manifestations just because we don't need them. Now, we want to be able to recognize them and enjoy them and use them, but not so that God can get our attention. They're for other purposes as well. So that's what we're going to be, but there are specific steps we can take to learn how to hear from God. Whether we need guidance or direction or confirmation or help identifying a wound or we need healing, any of those things, these are things we can go to God to find out what's going on. We don't need to be guessing about how we're doing or what's wrong or how to solve a problem. God is speaking to us constantly in our spirit, and the only thing keeping us from hearing him is that separation between our spirit and our soul. So that's what we're learning to address as we learn to rule and reign here on this earth now. If you're interested, be sure to sign up at the site www.wecanprepare.org for the feed burner, or just keep an eye on there. We'll be updating information as to exactly when. Right now it looks like it's probably going to be Thursday at 7, and all the information to get linked to TalkShoe will be on the site. Again, if you sign up, we'll be sending that link out and the information you'll need to connect with us. It's going to be a private conversation, so if you don't have the link, you won't be able to join us. Now, I'll be posting the link on the site and sending it out via email. So it's real important. You won't just be able to find us by going to TalkShoe. The reason we're doing it that way is because our approach is quite different from most people's. And we don't want to have to take the time during practical time to go through and identify distinctions. And we certainly don't want to be getting caught in arguing with someone or debating doctrine. This is a time where we're going to be putting into effect those things we've already learned. So it will be for those who are familiar. And regardless of how familiar you are, my assumption is that if you are going to be showing up for these times together or listening to the podcast, whichever, that you are embracing the whole idea that God, what God wants is more than you following him, but he wants a relationship with you, and that you've been changed in your spirit, that the process going on is in your soul and removing the hindrances between your soul and your spirit. Our approach is very personal, that God's relationship with you is what's most important to him, not what you can do for him. He doesn't need your help. Not protecting his reputation or changing the world or building his kingdom. You are what's important to him. And so as we approach that, you need training. You need to be able to hear him for yourself. Everything else he has you doing, whether it's being involved in ministry or raising your family or whatever, is the circumstances he has you in are for you to learn how to depend on him, how to learn to rule and reign here on this earth now. So we're going to get back into our series on tithing and giving. And if you've ever got any questions about that, it's diane@wecanprepare.org, and I'll get back with you regarding any questions you might have. We are also looking down the road at setting up some avenues to do some private ministry, private assistance in hearing from God in case there's situations or circumstances you don't want to be discussing in public, or that it might take too long then, other than what we would be doing on air. And those would be fee-based situations geared more around towards just the time that we'd be taking from other things. So we want to be aware that there are situations that do need some specific and intense time, but also that our goal is for you to pick this up, the how-tos, through sharing other people's experiences. Now, what we're going to do is just an approach. It's not the only approach. It's not, you know, if you're doing it a different way, that's fine. The goal, though, is are you learning to depend on God for your life? Or are you being strengthened in your own ability? This is part of the problem of what is so often taught within Christian circles, even the so-called charismatic groups. It's still a greater reliance on your gift, on your familiarity with books, or whoever has taught you, you know, the different streams. There's only one stream, and it's a river. It's a river of life. If you are, you know, living your life out of that river of life, you don't really need to worry about the streams. Okay, what God knows what you're going to need tomorrow, the day after, next week, a year from now. And he will have you prepared for it. He will have you ready. So you don't even need to know what God has for you tomorrow or the day after or next week or next year. You just need to know that you're hearing him, that you're receiving direction, you're hearing his voice. That's really what's important. Not knowing the future, not knowing if you're being equipped. Trusting in him is going to be a big part of your life with him. Might as well get to be familiar with it now, that what he is doing in our lives is to prepare us for what he is going to be doing in our lives tomorrow. It's not that complicated when we really think about it. When we really get it down, it's very simple. That's not to say that it's easy, but it is simple. It's not easy because we're coming up against our enemies, our strongholds, and we have to learn how to do battle with them. So hopefully you'll join us in one way or another, whether it's live or sign up for the podcast. We'll have those links all available at wecanprepare.org. And hopefully this will help in moving forward. We'll also be having times for people to share whatever experiences they may have been having. And if they want feedback or if they just want to share, that's terrific. We learn from one another. We're also going to be doing our best to avoid religious jargon. So just to give you a heads up on that, we're not going to be talking in terms of faith and reconciliation and, terms that the buzzwords. We want to speak in plain English, basically pretending that we're all Martians. We're all from our own planet. Because in a sense, we are. We all have our own histories and our own definitions of words. And we, you and I, want to be clear, because God is clear. We want to be plain and simple and let God do the complex issues. We want to make it as easy as possible to be understood, and sometimes that takes extra work on our parts. So we want to be willing to do that. So if you're used to using a lot of religious jargon, that might be something you'll need to revisit and say, well, when I say that I felt his presence, what do I mean by that? When we say, I just knew that this was what God wanted me to do. Can you be more specific? When you say you knew that, was there a change? Is this an emotional feeling? Was this based on something that, a peace that came on you because at first you were anxious about a decision you'd made and now that anxiety's gone? That's your confirmation that you knew you should do something? So basically, again, we want to be able to learn from one another. And the best way to do that is to put things in specific terms. It is more time-consuming for all of us, but this is how we learn from one another. And it's also good for us to understand, to see how God works in our lives, that he is not all, thunderclap and lightning and angels and miracles. The miracles that we should be doing are far and away what Jesus is doing. Now, Jesus raised the dead. We should be beyond that. I'm not sure what that is, but we should be beyond that. And I'm not just talking about spiritually or supernaturally or emotionally. The physically raising someone from the dead on his range of what's hard for him is low. So it's certainly something we should be able to get under our belt fairly quickly. And I say that sort of tongue-in-cheek. Certainly I don't know anyone who's there on a regular basis. So, but that is something we want to shoot really high. We want to have an expectation that whatever it is God wants to do, he can do it through you. He can do it through me. And it's all about him. As we depend on him, because we are depending on him, when that happens, we don't need to be concerned about passing the glory on to him because we know it's already him, because we are cooperating with him. We are depending on him. It is his life flowing through our spirit, through our soul, our body, to others, and even to ourselves. We're first partakers of that. We get the first bite. We feed ourselves first. We make sure we're taken care of first. So we do want to pay attention to taking care of ourselves. And when questions arise, we want to address them and make sure that we don't get so distracted by needs. In fact, that's one of the things we'll learn fairly quickly, I hope, is that just because someone has a need means nothing. That's between them and God. They don't need you. God doesn't need you. Nobody needs you. But because of God's nature being a giver, he has made you to be a receiver. So we first learn how to receive from God. Then we express, because of our new nature as a giver, we express and are generous unconditionally with what God has given us. Which leads us back into what we're talking about, the tithing versus giving. And as we go into the practicalities of this, let me just go ahead and put it out there that there's going to be two basic circumstances through which you give. And neither one of them has anything to do with a should, that you should give, or that God requires you to give in order to get, in order to be blessed. In other words, you don't give because someone tells you you should, or even because you believe you should. There's two circumstances under which you give, and this is financially or any other way. First, if God tells you to. Second, if you want to and God says it's okay. And he may even say, it's up to you. If you want to, fine. If you don't want to, that's fine too. So, but we'll go into the specifics of that, and we will see as we go through how our not following that, how we look for instead, quote-unquote, guidelines or parameters or legalistic approach in any way, shape, or form to giving, how that has kept us from giving life according to what God has intended in a given moment. We interfere so often with what God wants to do by giving of our time, our encouragement, our finances. And so we want to be focused on God and not on other people's needs. So let's look at what's going on in the New Testament. It's a testament to God's nature, his identity. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 9, 1 through 18. And this is Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. And yeah, I'm sure you know that there's only, you know, this the churches, the bodies were per city. They did not have, there were not churches on every block. You know, this is just a letter. And he has talked to these people before, and he has friends there. And it's just a letter. And he's encouraging them, giving them direction. And now these letters, of course, were circulated, but we do want to, and maybe at some point in time we'll go through some aspects of Paul's life. He is such a main component of what so many of us have been taught, and a great example of learning dependence. He's a great example of a lot of things, of making mistakes and rising above them and putting them in his past as well. So we, you know, use him as a great example of what it looks like to live dependent on Christ after the resurrection of Christ. So we want to look at this section of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, giving direction on caring for ministers. Okay, so if we don't, in other words, if we don't tithe, what do we do as far as our obligations and responsibilities to those who minister? And what we'll find is that we have, because of our perceived need and perceived function, we have created our own mindset about our duty and obligation. And a lot of that for a lot of us is going to have to be stripped away, so we can learn how to give according to what God wants to do. So 1 Corinthians 9, 1 through 18. I'm just going to read right through it, and then we'll discuss it a little bit afterwards. This is Paul talking. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this: do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope. And he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple? And those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than that it should be done so to me, that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with the stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. So here Paul reveals that with freedom comes responsibility. Just because we are no longer bound by the law, we are now bound by our new nature, which is love, at its root, giving. We are to provide for those who minister before the Lord and to his people. The poor and needy should likewise be cared for. But it's based on our new nature, not on shoulds. Now let's talk about Paul for a little bit. And we'll go into him a little bit more later. But his specific situation was, and what he was rebuking for, was that he was ministering, but out. But because he was single, he was not being, his needs were not being tended to. Those that had come through Corinth to the, and spoken to the church of Corinth, and probably I suspect other places as well, many of them, even Cephas, which is Peter, were married and brought their families with them. And for some reason it occurred to them, well, we need to support Peter because he's bringing his family with him. So their needs were taken care of. But now Paul comes through, and it's just Paul and Barnabas. And Paul actually sets himself up. He gets himself a job. He's a tent maker, and he gets himself a job. And I suspect that the leaders of the church there said, oh, great, we don't have to take care of him because he's taking care of himself. Now, here's the another way to look at this. Paul was rich. Paul was a citizen of Rome. He had family money, put it that way. We find out later at the end of his life, he rents a house in Rome while he's waiting to be executed and go on trial. He wasn't in prison. He bought his way out of there. So he has money at his disposal. So why did he get the job? It was his way of attempting to shame, basically, the leaders and the people at Corinth, the church at Corinth, that it was not that this was a good example of what ministers should do, but it was to show how the people in Corinth, the church in Corinth, were failing, that they were not able to provide for someone who was ministering to them, and so he had to provide for himself. Now, he could have asked, but that would have been a reproach on himself. He talks about he wasn't there to be paid. He wasn't there to generate an income. Woe unto him if he didn't do what God had set him to do, preach the gospel in Corinth. His duty, his responsibility was to do what God had told him. But he also recognized that, and this is why he wrote this letter, that by not making them or forcing them to provide for him was doing them a disservice. So he had to make this difficult decision to rebuke them, that they were not providing support, physical, material support, to Paul and Barnabas. And evidently it was because they were single. So we want to be very clear about this. This is not about how to take care of ministers. This is not so much addressing that, though, you know, that how to treat your pastor, for instance, or your group leader. This is more about looking at the responsibility of those within a church. As someone who is ministered to, how are you treating those who minister to you? It's not about church function, about church at all, about apostleship, about ministry or ministers. It's about your responsibility. Are you, and we'll get into this in detail, but are you giving back to those that God has feeding you? So we'll be going into next, caring for those in need, because we look at the whole, in many ways, the church, organized church, revolves around the minister and ministries, and not around the individuals learning what they need to know. So we'll pick it up there next Saturday. Again, keep an eye on our changes for next week, and we look forward to seeing a lot of you there. Thanks for your ongoing support of this ministry. It is appreciated, and we, again, will be picking up at 1 Corinthians 16, talking about caring for those in need. Have a great weekend. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.